Welcome to the Dudley Unplugged podcast, a show that gets to the heart of plumbing. Okay, welcome back to another episode of Dudley Unplugged. Today we're going to be talking all things plumbing. We've got a couple of well-known social media influencing plumbers with us. I'm your host, Mark Morris, and we are joined by Gavin Plumley, a.k.a. Pablo Plumcabar, who I'm sure is going to spend 10 minutes explaining why he uses that name, and Liam the Plumber, Liam, a.k.a. Liam the Plumber. I should have got that the other way around. He'll need a lot less time to explain why he's Liam the Plumber, as his name's Liam, which I'm sure he's obviously easy.
And I'm a plumber as well.
And his plumber, which kind of handles in there. Yeah. So is that how you sort of came up with the name? Whoops, in the microphone.
Yeah, it just works. I'm a plumber, name's Liam. Why? I haven't got a business, so I just keep it as Liam the Plumber. It works. It's catchy. Nice. Everyone knows it.
So yeah,
it's kind of like RoboCop, isn't it? Like RoboCop. Like you are Liam the Plumber.
Yeah, yeah. If you have your own business, then you might call it, I don't know, Woods Plumbing or something. But I haven't got my own business. I keep it as Liam the Plumber.
I consider you the RoboCop of plumbing.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
What, you mean he got smashed up completely and then someone had to rebuild him from nothing?
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. See, Liam's probably, well, of course, have you seen RoboCop? Do you get the reference now?
No, I've not seen RoboCop.
Oh, dearie me.
Wasted on you then.
Yeah. So, Pablo, where did your name come from?
So, right. Okay. So, a mate of mine, I've been a plumber 18 years this year. So, I've always done a lot of call outs, emergencies when I worked in housing and stuff like that. So, I was always out of hours. And emergency call out and stuff. And that sort of side of things is known to be expensive. So you've got to pay someone on an emergency call out, plumber, electrician, whatever the field, you've got to pay a lot of money. So one of my mates was joking one day and he said, it was in middle of winter, freezing cold. He said, you've been out a lot. I went, yeah, out all weekend. You're making money like Pablo Escobar.
Right.
And then it turned into Pablo Plumcabar.
It's catchy. So, yeah, so Pablo suits you perfectly. In case you don't know anyone out there, Pablo's got a load of stickers that he sticks around everywhere he goes. And I've got a nice collection of them on my desk at work.
How many have you got now, stickers?
Four different designs.
What's the most famous one you've got?
The sheep one, the little angry lamb. That's pretty prevalent one. Keith, his name is.
Keith.
But the latest Only Pabs one is, someone ended up sticking that on a toilet somewhere.
Nice.
When we was away together, the three of us, remember? At the installer show last year.
I remember.
Someone went and put that in the ladies' toilets.
It was like Pabs was here. That's what you want to put on there.
So, it could be a bit of a double-edged sword. Yeah.
That's what she said. One of the questions I always think about, obviously I've known you guys a little while now, is how did you actually become plumbers? What made you want to become a plumber?
Yeah.
So my family are all tradesmen. So hands-on right from the get-go, as soon as I could walk, it was picking up a hammer, chisel, handsaw. It's dangerous. Don't do that at home, people. But always into fixing things, building things, taking things apart and not being able to put them back together again. So working in a family
trade. Like now, then, yeah.
No, I'm good now. but it just natural progression. It was get yourself into a trade, Liam. I had no interest in electrics or something like that. Carpentry, I've always been interested in, but plumbing I just fell into because my older brother's a plumber. So I kind of followed him, looked up to him when I was growing up. So I went into plumbing and that's how it started. But I can put things back together now. Just for the record.
Absolutely. About yourself?
I did various jobs. Originally, I wanted to join the armed forces. I wanted to do, armed forces or police force. I was very healthy, very physically active as a youngster.
Yeah.
So that was the route I was going to go down. And then a chance meeting with a friend of mine who'd just come back off tour. And his last tour was horrific, really horrific. So I had a choice then of, I had the opportunity to go and train, to become a plumber, to further my training, or join the military. And I, after that chance meeting with my friend, I went, that's where I'm going to go.
Interesting. I mean, I've like I said, my dad was in the army, so I joined the army straight out of school. So you do tend to follow what's in a family footsteps a little bit on those sort of jobs, don't you?
It's very rare you find someone that has, I don't know, a family that does, I don't know, accountancy, and then they go into something completely different. You normally follow the same path. But it is rare, but it is out there.
Yeah. My father was a steel worker.
Okay.
But a very good carpenter, my father.
Are you good at carpentry?
No. Jesus was a carpenter.
Right.
I'm not.
Okay.
That's good. I don't know if there's any answer to that one there. I mean, you guys have been plumbing a long time. Lee, how long have you been plumbing for?
15, 16 years.
Yeah, 18. There's got to be one incident that sticks in your mind from those years.
Mine's quite recent. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, but...
Should I explain it?
Go on. Definitely.
Should I explain it? So it was within the past 2 years, and it's probably the worst thing that's probably ever happened to me on a job. So I had 2 days to fit a downstairs toilet and basin, rip off the tiles, retile it, and then replace two radiators in this house. I had 2 days to do it. I did everything in the cloakroom on the first day, easy, no problem. It's done by 3 o'clock. And I thought, oh, I'm only 10 minutes up the road from the house. So I may as well be a bit proactive rather than reactive. And let's fit the radiators for tomorrow. So all I've got to do is drain the system and connect it up. So I did hang the rads. And I thought, I've got a little bit more time. Do you know what? Let's dig the floor up because it's a concrete floor and let's expose the pipework so I haven't got to do that tomorrow. So in the morning...
Let's dig the floor up.
Yeah.
It's always the way to go.
And this,
right at the end of the day.
And this is about 3:30 in the afternoon. So the saying goes, if you fill up after 3, you'll be late home for your tea. I went on the left-hand side of this rad, on the flow side, dug up the pipework, and I could see it was a one-pipe system. So it comes across, tees up, and obviously it carries on. Now, I thought, I didn't think any more of it, and I carried on digging up the right-hand side and exposed part of the pipework, laughing. I thought, oh, I need a bit more room on this side. So I dug up a little bit more, and the one-pipe system looped back. And where it looped back was right where the point of the SDS bit went straight through. So I had probably, it's ground floor and it was a 3-story house. So it's probably, I don't know, 2 bar, 3 bar of pressure, something like that. This heating system was sludge. It was black. And this room that I was in, this hallway, was pristine, painted.
Oh, I can see where this is going.
Yeah, so it was it was mustard yellow behind the rad, white ceiling, mustard yellow on the return wall behind me. Bear in mind, that's 3 meters away. This water, as soon as I went through it with the SDS bit, went straight up that wall, hit the ceiling, and ended up on the reverse wall behind. I stood and stared at it and went, what do I do? The customer came out with, again, a pristine white towel to put over it, stem the water, and then water went off. Had to drain the entire house and had to rectify the pipework so I could go home. In the end, I ended up piping up the radiator and doing the other one and staying until about 9 o'clock at night, I think, doing it. So, yeah, lesson learned. Don't dig up floors after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But the customer was all right with the paint. They were fine with it. They're like, yeah, don't worry, we'll repaint it. But
we're repainting anyway.
Yeah, it's brand new anyway, so it's Farrow and Ball paint, so it's expensive. Yeah, so, yeah, but one mistake I won't be doing again, that's for Sasa.
I bet even the towel they give you was Egyptian cotton.
It was very soft.
Yeah.
It was very, very soft. But they were so understanding. They were so understanding. They were like, it's not your fault. I wasn't expecting it to loop back.
No.
I think it was going to carry on, but hey, lesson learned. I won't be doing it again.
Perks of our industry, our jobs.
Gav, how about you?
Well, so I worked in social housing for a long time. Liam, you've experienced.
Yeah.
The wonders of social housing. So there's some very dark moments, very dark things that I've experienced, but we'll leave those for another day.
There's also some very good ones, though. You meet some incredible people.
And that's the bonus of it, socializing, is that you just meet amazing people. But the one that stands out the most is we're doing a project, a refurb, so new kitchen, new bathroom. So we went into the house. Lady was tiny. She's 4'2". She's tiny. But she was like, cut her own hair and stuff. So it was wild. So we went in through the kitchen, or tried to get in through the kitchen, and the house, all the corridors in the house, floor to ceiling in dolls.
Dolls?
Yeah. You had to turn sideways to walk through the house.
Full-size dolls or?
Yeah, just boxes of like dolls. They're her babies. Oh. She was literally like, these are my babies. And I was like, right, okay.
I think I've seen this film.
Yeah. And that's what it was like. But the whole house was like that. Every room you went into, everywhere you walked, floor to ceiling in dolls. And that's the one that really stands out, because she was like, you know, she cut her own hair and stuff, and her husband was in the south of France at the time, in their villa, I think she said, in the south of France. And I was like, do you keep dolls there as well? And she sort of, yeah, you don't mention the dolls. Don't speak about the dolls.
So the eyes, like, following you around.
Yeah,
where you went.
It's one of the weirdest situations I'd ever been in. But, like, really funny. Like, equally frightening and funny at the same time.
That sounds terrifying to me.
Yeah, these are my babies.
Yeah. I don't know what would be worse, finding that she's got one of those, someone's got a big tank full of spiders or something. Each one of those, or it had spiders in it, but they've got out. You know, that'd be a nightmare for me.
Yeah.
Snakes loose in the house once. The people had gone, they'd moved out of the house, and there was two snakes missing. I got pictures. I actually have pictures of that as well.
Where were the snakes?
One of the snakes, yeah.
What, in the house? That you
yeah, they were still there.
And where were they? In one of the rooms?
Just chilling out.
They weren't under the floors or anything?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they appeared from, like, back under, out of the baths and stuff. And
were they, like, big things or...?
Yeah, the one was like this. It was apparently a baby. Wow. I got a picture of it, like with the snake.
Oh,
it was really cool. Someone was like, oh, was it venomous? I didn't actually think of that at the time, to be honest.
It was just
someone went, oh, look, there's a snake. Oh, cool, give me it. Yeah. Especially with social media now. Let's have a picture of everything.
Yeah.
If it's not on the internet, it didn't happen.
That sounds terrifying, to be honest, for me.
Yeah, it wouldn't be for me, that.
I mean, I've done DIY around, and I've never managed to flood anywhere, but I did drill through a gas pipe once.
Nicely done.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a pretty good job, I thought. My wife wanted a shelf up in it. We just moved in the house literally 2 days, and she wanted a shelf up in the kitchen, and it was next to the boiler.
You blaming the wife?
Well, if she hadn't have asked for the shelf, it would have been fine. But so
he's blaming you.
I'm not blaming him. It's not anything to do with wife. So I didn't understand where pipes are. So the boiler was there. So I put marked the shelf, got it nice and straight, put the first hole in for the first bracket, not a problem. Second one, first hole, okay. I thought, well, a bit of friction here, like, so put. I thought, I'm just going to push through, being as you. So I really went in, and as I'm sort of with the drill bit going, I can feel this pressure behind the drill, and I'm like, what is that? And as it came out, all the gas shot out, and I was like, because I had no idea where the stopcock was for the gas, and so I just went with some expletives added. I won't say now, but I said, Mrs., I've hit the gas pipe, so grab the cat and get out. So we had to bang on the neighbour's door. I've just hit the gas pipe, you know, I'm trying not to blow your house up. I'm really sorry, nice to meet you, by the way. And then called the gas, and the fire brigade came out, at which point I managed to find and turn the gas off. But a fire brigade came out, took one look at the hole, and then the hole was literally the size of a drill bit.
Yeah.
They then smashed a big hole in it and went, yeah, you've hit the gas pipe, and then left. I mean, you know, I could have done without having the huge hole in the wall, but...
Was it a new build?
It was relatively new. It only about 5 years old.
Yeah, so...
What's your natural reaction? If you hit gas pipe in a wall, what's your natural reaction? What's the first thing you do?
Can we bleep explicit? it would be... Because I know people who've done... Like, I know a guy who was a sparky, and he was coring out for flue and stuff through a wall. So he was coring out for his... electrical cables, like live, you know, proper mains coming through in flats. So he was coring out, and he went out and cored through the main gas supply on the outside, feeding the flat. So that was like 32 mil gas main run. They, like, evacuated the entire block of flats.
There's no way of turning that off.
Yeah.
No. Well, it's out in the street there, isn't it? So it's down to it. That's like a Transco job.
Yeah.
You know, Wales and West or whoever gas board. Yeah, but like, no, if you like now, for us now, because we're so long into it, like, hitting a pipe now is, oh, I've hit. Like, you don't react the same as, like, you would have originally, do you?
No.
It's like, I've hit a pipe. You're more annoyed with yourself that you've hit a pipe than the fact that there's a...
You might blow up and destroy everything.
Yeah,
if it's going to blow, it's going to blow.
Yeah.
Are you still, like...
Sometimes, not...
It's a natural reaction to be shocked by
it. Yeah.
You don't react the same as
I think it's shocked when I don't expect it. I expect a problem.
You expect to drill through a pipe? Like,
no, I'm not saying you expect to drill through a pipe. But when you go, when someone's put pipework in a wall for a radiator, for example, like first fixed it, you think, well, the brackets have got to go where the pipes are. Let's hope I don't drill through. So if you drill through, you're thinking, am I going to hit the pipes? Do you know what I mean?
Everything that we assume a lot of stuff.
You should never assume.
You should never make assumptions in any trade, in our trade especially. You assume, right, the pipes are going to be there. I'm just going to put my brakes here. It's going to be fine. But then, yeah, you're like, right.
If you half expect it sometimes.
You're kind of prepared.
Yeah, I think you have to be.
Yeah, I suppose, Leon, in the last sort of 15, 18 years, things have changed a lot.
Massively.
You guys in there, not just how you handle a job,
yeah,
but how actually the industry's changed. So is there anything, I mean, how have you seen it change over the years?
I'll let you do the technology bit. I'm gonna.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to do the technology bit?
So, when you say the technology bit, what bit? When?
All right. So we're plumbers.
Yeah.
So let's refer it to. Okay, water conservation and savings, because that for us that's huge.
Yeah. So.
How do you think we've changed?
Right. So one of the most common things we get called out to as plumbers is always leaking toilets.
Yeah.
Right. One of the first things. And it's always guaranteed to be the flush valve, the siphon, whatever it is, okay, always leaking into the pan. 15 years ago, you wouldn't have had the resources to go online to find the spare that you needed. Now you can do it, and it bits turn up either same day, following day, in 2 days, whatever, so you can sort it. 15 years ago, that probably wasn't a thing. So if you had an old flush valve, push button, for example, go, don't know, where do I get the bits for that from? And it would be a case of strip the toilet down, blah, 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 blah. Now it's swap it in and out.
External warnings as well. Like, I mean, you remember like originally like going to jobs and you'd have overflows pouring outside the house.
Yeah, I remember that.
And people would be ringing you like, oh, we got water pouring outside the house. How long has it been going? Oh, it's been about a week.
The thing, yeah.
Like now
people are more on top of it. Yeah, they are more on top of that kind of thing now, to be fair, especially when things don't seem quite right. And I think the big thing is with a lot of people, I don't know about where you are in Wales, but a lot of where I am in Sussex, a lot of people are on water meters. So when they get their bill through from Southern Water, South East Water, whatever it is, it's, why is my bill higher? The first thing they do is phone a plumber and go, I think we've got a leak.
Right.
And they're straight on top of it because it costs people money.
Yeah, I suppose when they see it in the financial terms, they're more likely to actually get it done. I mean, if you're waiting to look for the signs of a leak, you might not actually pick it up because it can be quite subtle in terms of the toilet's leaking, especially.
Yeah, that's how I'd say, not so much the industry's changed, but I think just how the sort of the general public perception values change.
Yeah, attitude to water.
I think so.
Literage changes, because we've got massive literage changes now, within toilets and like compared to what like original 11 liter flushes, and now we're down to 6, and soon down to be down to 4 in new builds.
Okay, so I mean have things changed in the industry a lot, right? When you go to some houses, I still come across low-level cisterns, high-level cisterns. I have customers come up to me and go, are the new push-button ones, close-coupled, any good? Do they give the same oomph?
Yeah.
It's the word oomph that people still use. Mm. And I go, yes, they do. But I personally find the low-level, high-level stuff so easy to work on, reliable, you know, tried, trusted. If that's what people have had in their homes for a long time, then that's what they'll stick with. So I think trying to get people away from, in that scenario, the low-level, high-level stuff into a close-coupled thing can be a bit tricky. Mm. Do you get what I mean? Whereas some people quite like the look of close-coupled, neat, compact, hidden away, concealed stuff. Do you see? Yeah. Even though it's still, in theory, low-level, it's out the way. How can we make it as neat as possible? That kind of thing. But it's still this imbalance, if you know what I mean. Not everyone's going the same route. So that's not changed, I don't think, too much.
No, I agree with that. People are still very much that way, or divided on that.
Yeah.
If I go to it, I'd still, me personally, this is just personal preference, I still prefer a high-level system.
Yeah.
A massive, you know.
I don't think so. They're too high for me.
Yeah, you're a bit short.
I'm quite short.
Oh, no, I've got to put ladders up.
I can't reach.
They're that height of the ceiling. You're literally like that, looking into the top of them, because you can't actually see. So you're doing it blind. But like in terms of like engineering aspects, then something, the basic idea of a high level system, which relied on gravity and volume of water to flush it, now is engineered to be a lot smaller, a lot more compact within a close couple suite or concealed.
Yeah. I think the other thing as well is we have a lot of products now made by obviously Dudley, other companies that are real high quality. However, there are still some products made by imports, which are inferior.
Yep.
They are just not suitable for the UK market, in my opinion. I don't know about you, but a lot of the stuff that comes with supplied toilets, from your high street brand, I genuinely throw that straight in the bin. And I know it's a Dudley Unplugged podcast, but I genuinely fit Thomas Dudley products.
Yeah.
Trusted over 100 years.
It's your reputation in the end as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, people don't want to, if the toilet leaks, they blame you. If you fitted a toilet and it's leaking, I'm going to blame you for it, not the manufacturer of the parts in it.
Yeah, so of course you are.
For you, it's reputation, isn't it?
The thing is installers now, we just want to fit the best possible products that are out there. We don't want to have to go back to a job that we fitted or that did 2 weeks ago because it's gone wrong, it's leaking. That's the worst thing, is a callback. It's terrible. You do get them on the odd little thing, but that's neither here nor there. But you don't want to have to go back for something so basic that, the brand new toilet you fitted doesn't flush properly. Yeah.
Do you find that with the birth of the internet and YouTube and everything, that general public are more inclined to look inside the system and try and fix it themselves before calling? Or Absolutely. Is it still that I'm still scared of actually the water problem I'm not calling?
Look, everyone does now.
Yeah.
Because the world is so informed now in every aspect. So because you have, everyone was like, that was the saying, wasn't it? The phrase of, I'll just Google it. So everyone Googles it. And then you have the influx of social media, YouTube and everything. So the information is readily available. So people will contact you and go, this isn't working. They'll start with, this isn't working. And then as the conversation goes on, it'll be, I had a look on YouTube. All right, so you've messed with it. You've messed with it.
That'd be me. Not wanting to admit that I've actually had a little bit of a play in there and I've actually made it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I snapped a bit off. I was sort of squirting out the ceiling now then, is it? Yeah. 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 So you do get a lot of that now because people are a lot more informed. They have that information is readily available.
Yeah, and maybe too much information is can be damageable as well.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I'm always, it's weird because I'm probably more likely to change an electric socket or a switch than I am to mess around with the water. I don't know why, because if the water goes, it's case leaking. If I mess around with electric, I could kill myself. But I'm still more likely to mess around with electrics than the water.
Water is very much a visual representation, though, isn't it?
Because yeah, I suppose.
Electric, you can't see it. It's like gas. You can smell it, but you don't see it. And that's the difference. People fear water and fire. It's you burn to death or you drown, and that's an inherent fear.
Yeah.
So a lot of people won't touch anything. They're just wisely. So like we try and inform people as much as possible. Right? Do you know where the stop tap is in your house? Do you know where isolation valves are in your house? If you've got control, then that's everything. Shut the water down. Control the water. Control the flow of water. Stem the flow.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just don't touch it.
Or don't touch it.
Yeah, don't touch it. That's right. Yeah, we should play that song for it.
I mean, ultimately, I personally don't mind homeowners having a go.
No.
But if you have a go and it's going to cost you more money because you've done something else that then has broken it even further, for example, then don't be surprised if the bill is
higher.
It goes higher. Yeah. That's for me is probably, I think.
And don't buy products for us.
Yeah, don't buy products from eBay or Amazon.
Yeah, and then say, can you fit that?
Yeah.
It's counterproductive. It's massively counterproductive. We're qualified plumbers, so, and we are governed by rules and regulations as qualified plumbers. So we have to fit things that are approved for use in the UK. So.
Yeah. So is there, when I was growing up, you had a little sort of little helping hands a little bit that said sort of like, if you were tightening up something lefty loosey, righty tighty, or if you were
they still teach that in college.
They still teach that in college, do they? But if you're doing like winding a plug up, I remember if you're not sure how to do it, so you have a brown wire, so the BR bottom right, blue bottom left, anything else, put it on the top. Is there any handy plumbing ones that you guys get taught?
Shit runs downhill.
Yeah. I like that one.
That's actually when they tell you shit runs downhill. Shit runs downhill and payday's Friday.
It was the first one. Nice. Yeah, that was the first two.
Lefty loosey is such a common one. No, in plumbing, right, so in plumbing terms, right, so handy tips, hints, that sort of thing. Now, there's millions of them if you're going into the realm of trying to fix, repair something. Personally, I would say know where your stop tap is.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you need to know in your house is you need to know how to control the water in your house.
And how to get to it, yeah.
Yeah. If you can't, don't touch anything because that is your lifeline. So you need to know where your stop tap is. You need to know how to shut it down.
Yeah.
And that's for me, is the biggest one, I think.
Jen, so you've recently become ambassadors for Thomas Dudley Plumbing Products. So how did that come about?
First off, just want to say what an absolute privilege it is. I don't just say it for me, say it for you, but every other person that's involved. How many of us is there now? 10? 10, 11 of us? I forget.
Potentially yes. 12.
There's quite a lot of us now. And we all genuinely are very, very privileged to be part of the most iconic toilet fill flush company there is. For me, when we started, I'll get onto how it all came about in a second, but it was overwhelming as to how much Dudley do. It's not just fill and flush, is it? It's so much more to that. But how it came about was all thanks to this gentleman right here. If it wasn't for his outreach, outgoingness to message one of the reps, we wouldn't be sat here today. And we probably wouldn't be as good of mates as we are, actually. We probably wouldn't even know each other, I think, if I'm being honest.
We just fell in love with you.
So, I mean...
We need some sort of romantic music you can, now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Keenan can cut that in. I mean...
We had a romantic meal last night.
We did have a very romantic... We did, yeah. Off the record. But it all came about because you were outgoing, you put yourself out there, you put your neck on the line and just made... a jump and just
a leap of faith
it led into 10 of us meeting originally.
Yes.
We did the factory tour, which was again unbelievable. And then we all became ambassadors. People came and go, etc. The core has stayed, and we've now got the girls on board as well.
Yes.
Which is amazing. And we've recently had some other people in from YouTube and TikTok as well. So we're trying to give other people the opportunity to experience and have a look.
Yeah, to see what we've seen and to look beyond the veil as such.
Yeah. So none of us take it for granted.
Yeah.
We're very, very humbled by the opportunity, but no one forgets out of the group. Everyone in the group knows where it started, and it's stamped into everybody. It all started from this man's initial interaction. I'll say his name with Lee.
Yeah.
Give Lee a shout out on this.
Lee Randall.
He's an amazing
guy.
He's
a good friend, really good friend now to us.
Yeah.
We're really good friends, me and Lee.
Does a lot for us. And if it wasn't, like I say, for you two starting off, then none of this would be possible. And obviously, me doing other bits and pieces with another company, I'm able to get Dissident in, hence the reason for why the podcast has started.
Yeah.
You know, that it's all just a snowball effect, but we're bringing people along for the ride.
I mean, from a company's point of view, obviously we've loved having you guys on board. It's been quite an eye opener actually to see how much you know and how much you don't know about what Thomas Dudley does, because we're a company that probably makes the same mistake that every company makes, is we just assume that you all know what we do.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, that's completely wrong. So there's always surprises. I mean, like I say, when you did your factory tour, I imagine you walked around and couldn't believe that. I mean, Pabs actually had a go on the production line, which was quite amusing and caused havoc for about an hour.
You actually lost Thomas Dudley money that day. Cost them quite a lot. But it's not just, you know, the staple Turbo 88 that's made. Everyone knows. Every plumber in the UK will know what a Turbo 88 is. You'll know what a Hydroflow is. You know, you'll know what the slim lines are. You'll know all the systems, whatever. But it's the Basin Mates is the new thing. Dudley Mate. It's, for example, for me, it's seeing all the commercial stuff, the industrial stuff. It's like the manhole covers. You walk over them in the street. You don't forget.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, because Thomas still runs and operates his own foundry.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's I think it's probably one of the only ones that's left in the UK now. And
yeah,
it's a badge of honor for the company to still be running a foundry
because it's not just plumbing stuff. Because you've got the foundry, you make the Monopoly pieces for Monopoly boards.
Yeah,
you make the seats for Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, there's stadiums, rugby plastics. Yeah, one of the Dudley companies.
Yeah, exactly. So there's so much more than just plumbing products that Thomas Dudley do. But I think with every plumber in the UK, Dudley is associated with the turbo. That's what it's main thing.
It's been known for. Yeah.
Every plumber in the UK knows Thomas Dudley. They know that.
100%.
It's not. It's ingrained. It's so iconic. It's so steeped in history. And this was kind of the whole point then when it started was that being an ambassador for Thomas Dudley is an honor. And I tell everyone that. It's an honor. And it really is. And we all do. We take it
so seriously. Yeah.
Because you're representing a company, a brand that is so steeped in history, that is so iconic in our industry. You stand tall. You're an ambassador for Thomas Dudley. Is there a greater? And we've had this discussion. There. If you were to be an ambassador for someone, there is no greater name that you would want to be ambassador for than Thomas Dudley.
Made in Britain. Over 100 years of history.
Yep.
And it's part of our heritage as plumbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is. You're helping to carry that forward for the next generation.
Yeah. I mean, to put it into perspective, like the turbo was made, produced, developed before I was even born.
Yeah.
To carry that legacy on, it's an honour. And obviously, new generations coming through, picking up on what Thomas Dudley is.
Yep.
You know, you go into the merchants, you see the stuff, you're familiar with the brand, the colours. And with the socials now, people coming into the trade later on in life, you know, just starting out, whatever, can associate with all of us. And they'll pick the products up and go, oh, Pablo fits that. Oh, Liam fits that. Yep. Or so-and-so fits that. It's just helping bring that awareness out. And obviously, it all started from, and never forget this, I've told you this, it all started from that initial interaction. And I'm always super grateful.
Yeah,
we're super grateful.
Well, we saw some of the interaction you guys had when you were on our stand at the installer show last year, and a lot of guys came on the stand specifically to see you guys. It wasn't about they didn't come see us; they came to see you guys, which was like again because of the way social media works. We were like, wow, that's just amazing. You know, obviously they wanted to come and see us clearly because they wanted to come see me, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's that sense of. The way things have changed, when we talked earlier about how things have changed, I think social media's probably changed a lot as well because people look to other plumbers for inspiration. And I think we see that and you guys have, you know, you inspire the next generation of plumbers to come along, which is a brilliant thing to see. And, you know, you've introduced other people to potentially become ambassadors for Thomas Dudley. And so it's all a really great sort of interaction that we all have. And we love having you guys around. It's actually brilliant. I mean, days like today, come out, we just have a nice chat, talk about things. You know, we're all sort of become quite friendly with how everything is. And, you know, it's an honour for us and a privilege to have you guys actually representing our brand out with the general public as well as plumbers.
I mean, we all try and do it in the most professional way.
You do.
I try and do it in the most professional.
It's not a professional plumber.
Yeah, I try and do it in a professional way. But the thing is we can be on a stand. So we're on the stand this year again, aren't we? So you're on the.
I'm on Tuesday. I'm on day one.
Yeah, I'm on day two on the Wednesday.
Yep.
And I can't wait. Because people are going to come up, try and beat us on the little challenges and that kind of thing. The stand's always got a great vibe around it. Get to meet all you guys. And we do just get so many people come up and just want pictures, want to meet us and talk about everything Dudley.
We have the option, the fun, where we can we literally just have parts. We can just strip them apart, do what we want with them, break them. We can do everything with them. So... and that's part of why we do social media and part of being an ambassador. And then this is why it runs into installer show is that because you get all these groups around friends and sort of extended groups that you meet, they come along, you go, right, come here. Now I can show you this. Now you're a friend of me. You can go, right, this is how this, we're stripping it apart in seconds.
Yeah.
Just as a challenge, just to, it, you know, can you beat me in this time?
Yeah.
But it's also informative.
Yeah. I mean, installer last year, do you remember how there was the turbos and the turbo edge, literally all the bits were just flung about. We couldn't, you know, they were complete and they were compact at the start of the day.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, there's bits just dotted about everywhere. It was like when I did Fex Chelsea, there was the valve mate just everywhere on the stand. You couldn't find a complete valve mate. You're going, oh, I need that bit, I need that bit, I need that bit, whatever. It was just bits everywhere.
It's good fun to bring people in and to have that, to have that fun.
They're having aspect. having a go.
Yeah, and just get it. Like, when I was an apprentice, right, so the bloke used to say to me, just have a go. There's nothing you break that I can't fix. And now we're in that situation where, especially when we're at the shows and we're having a laugh and we're showing the new products and different things, there's nothing you break that I can't, literally, there's nothing you break that I can't fix. We know how to strip them down.
Yeah.
We know how to put all the pieces back together. Yeah. And it's, so it's not just a laugh, it's not just a bit of fun, it's a learning curve as well, especially for apprentices, people starting out.
Yeah, it is.
But it's showing, again, it's showing the quality of Tom Study products, which is why we're ambassadors.
Yeah.
We choose to be ambassadors, not just because it's an honor, it's the fact that we believe in the product, which is the big difference.
I mean, outside of the, obviously everyone knows the Turbo 88, is there one other product that you really like or you're really surprised that actually we did, that you didn't, had no clue that we produced anything like that?
There's too many.
I suppose maybe some of our gas products that people don't really know that we're strong in. And
yeah, I mean, with the heat inside and different gas products, a lot of the fittings products, you know, there was variations in which you would go, yeah, like there's brass fittings there. I had no idea you did brass fittings, and I generally didn't know that. I was like, brass fittings, you do ball valves. And it would be common sense to think then that, oh, yeah, there's going to be other products in line with that because you've got brass ball valves. But you don't. I just didn't. I didn't think. And then, like, when we went into the factory tour and when we got sort of welcomed in then into the fold and to find out then, hang on a minute, there's thousands of products here that are shipped worldwide.
Yeah.
Because you've got stuff spec'd for the Caribbean and different places, and it was like, that's insane. And then, but it's not just the products that you make that we fit and use, like fill and flush, valves. There's tool related stuff.
There is tool related stuff. I think for me the one product I didn't know you made, and it's as simple as it's the washer boxes.
Mm.
You go into the merchants and the washer boxes are there, but it's like you don't associate that with Tom Studley initially. Mm. And it's like, hang on a minute. And there you go.
Yeah.
And it was things like that. It's, and then non-plumbing related, I think I was surprised that was the Monopoly pieces.
Yeah, from one of our, one of the founders that made.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of things. I mean, the drain covers, the cat's eyes as well for the road, or the road studs. And think, you know, there's a whole host of products that Thomas Dudley as a wider entity does that people wouldn't have any clue.
Mm.
So it's always surprising when we take people around and you see the pods that are in our showroom and people sort of, oh, I didn't know you did that. I didn't know you did that water fit that make the, you know, the pipes under the ground. It's such a wide variety of products. We cover almost every angle, but people don't really appreciate actually the size of the business because they, over the years, have kind of got Turbo 88 is what they've got sort of thing. That's what Dudley's are, to Turbo 88. Actually, no, it's a lot more than that with their other brands. So it's, you know, it's great that you guys have actually seen that. And sort of obviously you tell everyone that, you know, that we do this, and it's you know, it's amazing when you talk to people. Oh, I didn't know you did that. I didn't know you did that. I think, yeah, well, that's a part of our job, is to make sure we get that message across to everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I mean, is there any sort of, looking at the next generation of plumbers that come along, is there any sort of tips, any sort of what you'd recommend that they do, any sort of. If you were starting out in the plumbers, what would you want to know now that you didn't know at the time?
Oh,
that's such a good question.
Off the top of my head right now, and interrupt me in a second, but I think one piece of advice I would give to a newcomer, someone starting out in the trade, you know, whatever age, is if you're working with someone, ask the questions all the time. Be repetitive in asking the questions. What does this do? What does that do? How does that work? Where does this go? Et cetera, et cetera. How do I do this? Ask the questions. I wasn't shy of asking the questions. I remember asking, I think when I started, probably about 10 times, half a dozen times, how to hang a radiator. I couldn't do it. It's the most basic thing now to me. But when you're starting out, I don't know how to mark it out and fit it to the wall. You don't know. So ask the questions. That's how you progress. I'm trying to think of other sort of like tips I can.
I think that's important, is that the asking the questions is massively important. There's no such thing as a stupid question, just stupid answers.
Yeah.
And that's massively important. And like, for me, it was about putting your hands on it, getting involved. Don't stand back. As an apprentice, you can stand back and observe. You can observe all day, but it's not going to help you. Literally push your boss out of the way and say, right, how do I do this? Put yourself in the situation. Don't be afraid. The person that you're training with, that you're watching, that who's helping you, knows how to do it. So just put yourself in that position. Be more forward.
It's no point. There's no point in being a gopher, getting tools out the van.
Yeah.
No.
If you're someone that's been in a job for 2 years and all you're doing is carrying tools in out the van, then I'd reconsider what you're doing.
Yeah, you're not doing an apprenticeship, and that's
how you'll always remember it. And the thing is when you get to the point that your person you're working with is, that's how you'll treat your apprentice.
Yeah.
When I was an apprentice, I was encouraged to just, you get on with it. I'd never really went and got stuff from the van. Might be the odd thing here and now, but of course it's expected. But I don't treat my apprentice now that way.
Yeah.
I let him do the job, and I'm the one that goes and gets the bits and pieces from the van.
Good old
That's the way it works. If you go for in, then look again.
Yeah, you're not. You've got to get in there. You've got to put yourself in the position to get involved.
Make mistakes. Don't be afraid of making mistakes. Yeah.
Like drilling through the pipe on a radiator the other week, for you.
Yeah, don't make that mistake.
There's not enough of that, is there? Right, every plumber has caused a leak. Every plumber has done a ceiling. Every plumber has put their foot through a ceiling. Any plumber who says they haven't is lying.
They're lying through their teeth.
Yeah.
Any plumber that says I don't get a leak, lying.
Don't fear that. It's going to happen. Yeah. You're better off getting used to the fact that, okay, that is going to happen. Let's just get in there, get involved. And like we said, water control is everything.
Yeah.
You know how to control it. You know how to stop it. You can do anything.
One thing I was always told was, if plumbing was easy, everyone would be doing it.
Yeah.
B&Q did an advert once. So they did an advert once. And it was... literally them saying, oh, plumbing's easy nowadays, anyone could do it. And they were showing push fit,
right.
A certain brand of push fit pipes.
Right, okay.
Which is the one thing that we constantly have to go out and repair because they die and fall apart and blow up and disappear and disintegrate. Yeah. Plumbing's easy, yeah. Not easy when it's 3 o'clock in the morning, it's all gone wrong and you're panicking in your kitchen when water's pouring through it.
Yeah.
So that would be one message. Yeah, if plumbing was easy, everyone would be doing it. So yeah, don't think it's going to be an easy ride because it's not. It's rewarding.
Massive.
It is good. Has its ups and downs, like any job, any trade, any career.
It's physically demanding.
I wouldn't change it for the world though.
I love being a plumber.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you were starting off, did you get tricks played on you? So, I mean, when I was recruiting the army, I was asked to go down to the Sergeant Major's office and ask for the key to the indoor hand grenade range. You think about now, the guy you're like 4 foot, or go and ask for the key to the parade square. You know, this big square in the middle of nowhere. Can you go and get the key to the parade square? He'd troop off down, and the sergeant major would look at you and go, right, okay, you deserve to go to jail for the next 4 hours. So he would march you off down the guard room, and you'd end up bulling the floor with wire wool for a few hours for being so stupid. But there's always that going and get for a long wait. So was there any trick? Did you get tricks played on you when you first started off?
I didn't.
You'd have, for me, it was time limits. They would go, like, I'd be in the middle of doing semi pipe, and they would let you go, right, 10, 9, 8. And I'd be going, what? And I'd be like that, panicking. And they would literally turn the water on, and I'd be getting shot in the face with it. It would go everywhere. Yeah. Because it was just how they could get away with things. I mean, apprentices get it. It's a lot different now. The culture within the industry. You're not allowed to be tied up and stuff anymore.
No, you're not. no, you're not. Perhaps.
Apparently it's illegal.
The trick thing, I remember seeing once, it's not so much a trick, it's more like a mind game, this. I was working with some guys and we had this apprentice. I didn't do this. I wasn't involved in this, but the guy went, got one of the plumbers, and he stood over this young lad who was soldering. And they both stood over this young lad, and he was soldering. He looked up.
Are we allowed to tell the story, by the way?
Yeah, yeah, okay. And they looked over him, and he was just soldering. He looked up, stopped the torch, looked up, and went, all right. Like, yeah, carry on. And they both carry on standing over. Finished the joint, wiped it over, and I went, wouldn't do it like that. And he went, well, what have I done wrong? And they just literally walked out, left him.
Right.
So he's thinking, what have I done? And I walked in, I went, you're right. And he said, yeah, what have I done wrong? I went, it looks all right to me. Anyway, it was fine. It was just a mind game thing. Yeah, I wouldn't be doing it to someone, but it's like.
But even that, when someone's watching over, when you're soldering, even now, it's still off-putting.
Yeah, well, it's like a customer standing over you now. Yeah. When they watch you, yeah.
Yeah, my wife, well, if I'm doing DIY, if I'm struggling with something and I just want a little bit of space because I'm not sure how to fix it, that's usually the point my wife can be, everything all right? Or I go, having a few problems? And
that's the worst time.
It's always the worst time for me. Yeah. My wife's going to kill me for mentioning that, so I won't let her watch the podcast.
We get it with customers. Clients, they'll stand over you when you're doing stuff.
They can walk in at the worst possible time. I had one the other week where I was cutting heating pipes in the ceiling, and the water, you know the feeling, right? Water's running down your arm, it runs down your sleeve, and it drips out the bottom of your T-shirt. It was at that point, and she walked in and she went, you getting all right, Liam? I'm like, yeah, fine. And it's the most uncomfortable feeling in the whole world, and I don't want to have to stand there and have a conversation about what's going wrong. Well, nothing's going wrong, but I'm cutting pipe work, so of course it's like a great time, but, you know, it can be, yeah.
I had an old gentleman sit on the toilet while I was repairing it.
No.
Not use it, but actually came in. His name was Raj. Lovely bloke. And he came in, and I used to do this in my country. I went, cool. Do you want to have a go? And he was like, I haven't got the tools. I went, I have. He went, oh, no, you get on with it. I was like, okay. And you get that a lot. Oh, I could do it, but, all right. And I'll always go, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he literally sat on the toilet while I was, like, the system's there, toilet's there. I'm to the side of it and going to repair it. And he sat down on the toilet. And I felt
uncomfortable.
I felt invaded, yeah.
Uncomfortable, awkward.
Yeah, it was like, he like literally sat on the toilet, like looking at me then, like that. Like, it was, yeah. So it was a quick swap. It was lucky. It was just a quick change. So it was just stripping apart, one out, one in.
Yeah.
Did it back out and then turned it back on. Oh, I could have done that.
Yeah,
but instead you sat on the toilet next to me, Raj.
And watched me.
Yeah. I could have run the London Marathon, but, you know, I don't want to show everyone up.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things have changed over the year. I mean, if you look at Japan and the toilets they have over there, we have sort of hands-free sort of toilets. Do you see any of that evolving over here? Sort of any of the really smart ones?
One of those electric things, you sit on it and it does everything for you. It's in one, and it's been nothing but a problem ever since it was installed.
Right, okay.
We didn't install it, but we gave it to go back for the same reasons. It blocks, it leaks, that kind of thing.
Again, there's a lot of stuff that is introduced into this country which is not fit for our standards. It's not fit for the UK industry because we are very strict in a lot of things we do, and for very good reason. I do find hands-free infrared flushes and stuff like that, I think they're great personally. I think it within, because Thomas Dudley do one and I fitted them myself. Yep. So the Wave 3 especially, for disabled adaptions and things like that, I think they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Because people who have rheumatoid arthritis, people, general disabilities, that sort of thing. So yes, I think there is a niche and a market for it. And I think that I do like that. Mm. But you can sometimes just over-engineer things and take out, ruin the simplicity of what makes it good.
Yeah.
And Thomas Dudley have a lot of products which are, it's their simplicity which makes them so good. Like the Quantum now.
The new one.
Yeah. The push button siphon, yeah.
That again, so you add the Turbo 88, absolutely legendary, iconic item. When that came out, that changed the industry, and it did. And I remember that was one of the first products that I came across, which is how I was more introduced to Thomas Dudley when I started. So now, like, being part of that evolution now to I'm at this stage, I'm now an ambassador for Thomas Dudley. Like, we're one of the first people to see this Quantum. which I actually took apart yesterday.
Okay.
And he had a go. So he put it back together again.
Yeah, excellent.
I didn't have a go. Yeah.
I'll have a go later. But I know how to strip one, repair it, put it back together if anything ever goes wrong with it. So, I mean, for me, a lot of people, you know, in different sides of it, heating engineers, stuff like that, gas engineers. But I am now in the position where I've evolved in that time to become an ambassador, to see these things now being created, is incredible. And that's something now that I'll carry for the rest of my life. And that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, we'll remember that.
That's great.
Yeah,
I'll teach you later. I'm going to teach you.
Okay, mate.
I will be your teacher.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, gents, I think we're about out of time. So I just wanted to thank you both for coming. I think it's been a great chat, and hopefully we'll do another one another time, which has been great. So just on that note, I hope you enjoyed being on there.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's great for us to sort of meet the people who use our products. Because you guys know how to use them, how to install them. And I think you've even got involved with some of our design team to sort of steer them a little bit on the products that they do, which is always really helpful. So, thank you for your time. It's been a great.
No problem at all.
And thank you for joining us on this episode of Dudley Unplugged. If you enjoyed it, don't forget to subscribe, hit the buttons below, around, wherever they are on the screen, and stay tuned for our next episode of Dudley Unplugged. Thank you very much.